one.
It is a great honor to be here to deliver the last message of the year. I sure appreciate the elders giving me this opportunity. Ms. Jean, before the services started tonight, she said, do a good job. And that's the amazing thing about the Word of God. As long as you deliver it in its entirety, it's not the messenger, it's the message that gets delivered. So I'm going to do my very, very best to make sure that we do a good lesson so that I can provide that in its entirety. And kind of leading in with that just shows how powerful the Word of God is. That even me, somebody who fumbles and says a lot and may not be able to complete a picture, as long as I deliver the whole Word of God, it's so powerful, and it has the power to change people's lives. I was watching a story on the history of Pompeii. So for those who might not know, Pompeii was a town in Italy that was at the foot of Mount Vesuvius. And about 72 AD, Mount Vesuvius erupted and buried this city in ash. And kind of thinking about that, it made me think about how close these people were to such a powerful source. Did they really recognize how powerful that source was? And what all that source was, that volcano right there, everything that it provided for those people. Some of the things that are known with volcanoes, the land around a volcano is very rich. It's some of the richest earth that you could possibly have. So if you're growing crops, I mean, you can't think of a better place to grow a crop. Some of the most fertile land there. But then how easy it is to have that amazing, powerful source right there and knowing that it could erupt any moment, and how easy it is that after, you know, centuries, it hadn't erupted. And how easy is it to say, well, you know what? Maybe it's not going to erupt. Maybe, you know, it's not that big of a deal. And how familiar is that for us to also come to here, to have something that's so fertile and to very easily overlook how powerful this is right here and how powerful God is. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk to the congregation about tonight, is how amazingly powerful God is. David compared God to a volcano. So I'm not the first one to make this connection. So please don't think that Joel had some amazing thought. No, I definitely relied on the Word of God. So if you will turn with me to Psalm 18. This is a psalm written by David. It's reflecting on his battle with Saul, the final battle that he had with Saul, where he was actually delivered from Saul. He'd been promised the kingdomship. And finally, that day comes when he's going to have to stand against Saul. And we've talked about this in our teen class, how Saul was the king of the people. Man, when you walked in a room and you saw Saul, you were like, that guy's the king. David was not that kind of person. David was humble before God. He was a man after God's own heart. But when you compare the two, I loved how Orion brought up in his lesson that God uses the weak to show his strength. And it's kind of the same thing with David. And I'm sure when David walked out onto that battlefield, there's just that hint of, like, boy, this might not be going the way that I want it to go. But we see how God, how David's heart was in dealing with that battle. So if you'll turn with me, Psalm 18, verse 4. David wrote, "The cords of death encompassed me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me." So he definitely had that fear. There was definitely that recognition that this is a very serious situation. And for those that don't know, I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Version, so I apologize if my version's a little bit different than yours, but I appreciate you working with me and helping to study this word with me. But we're going to continue at verse 6. So this is what set David apart. Verse 6, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into my ears." Now watch how David describes God here. Then the earth shook and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains were trembling and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up out of his nostrils, and fire from his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherubim and flew, and he sped upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around him. Darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him passed his thick clouds, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. He sent out his arrows and scattered them, and lightning flashes in abundance and routed them. Then the channel of water appeared, and the foundations of the world were laid bare at your rebuke, O Lord, the blast of your breath of your nostrils. I think it's very obvious that the most significant power on earth is a volcano. And David is comparing God to that volcano. Also, if we turn over to Psalm 97, let's go ahead and turn over there. I'm going to be reading from verse 1, starting at verse 1. Psalm 97, verse 1. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries around about. His lightnings lit up the world. The earth saw and trembled. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth, the heavens declared his righteousness, and all the people have seen his glory. Once again, we see that this writer recognizes that the most powerful earth, the power on earth, is so comparable to that of our Lord, and how much power that he has. But I love how he ends, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people have seen his glory. You know, we've been studying the book of Proverbs, and it begins with the understanding what the fear of the Lord is, that's the beginning of knowledge. And we see that knowledge being applied, that godly knowledge here. Micah also recognized that. If you will turn with me to Micah, we're going to read from chapter 1. Micah chapter 1, as he's given his message. The word of the Lord, starting at verse 1. The word of the Lord which came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Hear, O people, all of you. Listen, O earth, and all it contains. Let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord is coming forth from his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. The mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will split like wax before the fire, like water poured down a steep place. It's not by accident or coincidence that God is compared to this mighty force. And like I mentioned, with the volcano, the land around the volcano is the most fertile land. And I'm guaranteed that that's why Pompeii was established there. When you're relying on those crops to help feed your people, if you can find the best land, then absolutely that's a place to establish yourself. And it's the same for us here. With this church, we're the closest to God. This is the most fertile land. We have the rich nutrients of God's word. Turn with me over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all the slander, like newborn babes, longing for pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. We have that rich nutrient. But just like those farmers, you can't take advantage of it unless you plant, unless you use that that's there. It's What a waste to be so close to God and to have this word and to never use it, to never plant and to never utilize it to help fertilize our own lives. We also enjoy the warmth of God through fellowship. There's a lot of energy in a volcano, and that's one of the things that they're looking at now is that we look at reusable energies. There's a ton of energy coming from that volcano, and one of them is warmth and the heat. And we enjoy that warmth of God through fellowship. You will turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 discusses this fellowship. Hebrews chapter 10, starting at verse 24. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We have a great honor and a great privilege to be able to come together and to lean upon each other. It was beautiful to see Sister Newcomb come up this morning and recognize that there is power in prayer and that there is power in this assembly. But there's also a reminder when we go to verse 26, continuing on Hebrews 10, verse 26. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Once again, we see that comparison to God and the fury that and the power that can come from God. Why do we encourage each other? This is exactly why we encourage each other, to keep us on that straight and narrow so that we don't ever have to face that judgment, to face that fiery, that fire that will consume us. Because to sin is to be an adversary of God. And that's why we recognize that there is power in this assembly and this power in us working together to maintain that diligence to stay on that pathway, to make sure that we're heading in the right direction, that we're not becoming an adversary and being faced with the fury of that fire. If you will turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3, that message is also continued. Hebrews chapter 3, we're starting at verse 12. Take care, brethren, that there not be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Today. There's a lot of power in that word today. We can make plans for tomorrow. We can look back at the past. But today is the only thing that we actually have any control over. And so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We're going to continue at verse 14. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end, while it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. I loved how Orion brought up this morning in his lesson about how the Israelites provoked God. And it goes back, like he mentioned, studying the Old Testament gives us reference to the New Testament. And that's exactly what happens at verse 16. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses, and with whom he was angry for 40 years, was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom he did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. This is the most scariest thing to me, is that we just being here does not guarantee that we have a place in heaven. Those that did not believe were with the children that were being brought out of Egypt. But to see this warning that came, and that we see that God's anger was kindled against those who did not believe. It's so important that we try to maintain that, and then that we actually do maintain that. I say, scratch the word try, that we maintain that. and that we utilize these resources that we have, his word, our brothers and sisters here, the encouragement of each other. When we look to the future, when we look to 2025, we have this opportunity to grow, and we have these resources that are available to us. Just like those people of Pompeii, we have to take advantage of those resources. We have a lot of potential here. I think we can still keep marching forward and doing God's will, and we've got to take advantage of these opportunities. But like the people of Pompeii, we cannot underestimate the power of God. Orion did a fantastic job this morning of displaying how the weak, how God uses the weak to show how strong he is. I want us to look at another verse. We're going to go to the book of John. Book of John, chapter 6. Orion did a fantastic job utilizing 11. I'm going to use another example. John chapter 6, verse 5. This is where Christ fed 5,000. John chapter 6, verse 5. Therefore, Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these may eat?" He's posing this question so it goes into Philip's mind. How are we going to be able to afford this? How are we going to be able to feed all these people? This he was saying to test him, for he himself knew what was intended to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many people?" Just like his father, Jesus is about to use this example of something that's so small but can have such a huge impact. Continue on at verse 10. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in this place, so the men sat down in the number about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and having given thanks, he distributed it to those who were seated. Likewise, also of the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments so that nothing will be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. As we look to 2025, Orion brought up a statistic of 7 billion people in the world and 1 million of them are Christians. We're those 5 loaves. And if we let God utilize us the way that he wants us to, or that he wants to, we can feed a whole world. We have the opportunity to really spread his word if we let God's power work within us. He will use us to do that. And it's just making sure that we are the right loaves of bread for him, that we're the right leaven. So we can't underestimate God's power to use us, but we cannot also underestimate God's judgment. For almost every verse that tells us what God can give us, it is followed by what God will do to the disobedient. We're going to go ahead and turn back over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28. We have that example. Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 starting at verse 1. "Now it shall be if you diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments which I have commanded you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. All these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you obey the Lord your God." We have the same promise. But if you jump down to verse 15, it follows up, "But it shall come about, if you do not obey the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." If you turn over to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24, he gives the same warning again to the Israelites once they've come out of that wilderness. Joshua 24, starting at verse 1, "Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and their judges and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, and the father of Abraham and the fathers of Noah, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him to Isaac." And we're going to go ahead and jump down to verse 14. "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served before the river in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us out and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and who did these great signs in our sight and preserved us through all the way in which we went and among the peoples through whom the midst we passed." So they recognized that power. They recognized that God was powerful and that they were going to commit themselves to him. Joshua continues at verse 20, "If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done good to you." And as Orion brought up in 2 Kings chapter 18, we saw the invasion of Judah and we saw what happened to these people and how they did fall away. They had made that commitment to God, but they fell away and they fell into judgment. And we risk the same thing. Turn with me to Jude, to the book of Jude. Starting at verse 3. Jude, verse 3. "Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt it necessary to write to you, appealing to you that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe." This is why it's important that we learn our history. We risk the same condemnation. We risk the same fiery judgment. We have an amazing resource here. We have the Word of God. We've got brothers and sisters. We have a way to see us through this judgment. Turn with me over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 1. "Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." So we have a direction there. Continuing at verse 2, "Set your mind on things above and not on things that are on earth." We're given direction there on how to get to that. So we have a direction, we have a focus on where we need to put our minds and our hearts. "For if you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory." There's a promise there. We continue on at verse 5. "Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immortality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience." We have a direction. We have a way to get there and a promise that the path that he's laying before us has a final destination. But we continue on at verse 7. So we've seen what God can give us. Verse 7 continues, And in them you also once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed by a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. And just a reminder, that knowledge is godly knowledge. Continuing on at verse 11, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is in all, and Christ is all and in all. So we see that that promises to us as well. Not only was we started in the Old Testament where it was promised to the Israelites, this promises to us. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. I mentioned to Zach this morning, I said, your lesson, it just ties in perfectly. And I think that's the completeness of God's word, that when we present it in its fullness, that it's always going to connect. So we see that we have a great responsibility, and we have the tools that we need. We have to recognize that we are standing in front of a great power here. The power of a volcano. I've read some interesting facts. The loudest sound ever recorded was 310 decibels, and that was when Krakatoa erupted. So a little bit about decibels. It's a logarithm where 10 decibels multiplies the sound by 10. So whatever the noise was at 10 decibels, when it's at 20, it's doubled. Actually, 10 times what it was at 10. So the decibels of Krakatoa was 310 decibels. A sonic boom when a jet takes off or breaks the sound barrier is 200 decibels. 310 decibels is 100 billion times louder than a sonic boom. One volcano can cause more destruction than all the nuclear weapons launched at one time. A lot of power. And who made Earth? And who made that volcano? And who made man? Matthew chapter 10. If you'll turn with me there quickly. Matthew chapter 10. Chapter 10, starting at verse 28. Do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. When we think about how awesome this power is of a volcano, some people would be fearful. But let's continue on at verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. My kids would be quick to point out that that's getting easier for God to number, but continue on at verse 31. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. We have an awesome power here. We have a great responsibility to continue to spread this word and to warn others. There's an awesome power here. We have the word of God. We have brothers and sisters here to help strengthen us. We have this fertile land. We have the word to help grow, and we have a job that's been laid before us, to go and preach the word. Those that were destroyed in Pompeii were those that were too weak to flee. When they've gone back and excavated, they found that it was children and older people, those who did not have the strength to withstand that volcano. We cannot be weak, because it will bury us. So if there's anybody here tonight that is not a member of the body of Christ, we're giving you access to this amazing resource. We have the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us that we are dead in our sins, but there is a solution to that death, that there is a way around that, and that's Jesus Christ, that He came and died and was raised again so that we might be raised with Him as well. We have to hear the gospel. We have to believe the gospel. We have to repent. Repentance is not something just for sinners. You know, we always have the opportunity to repent. It's very easy to, even for us, to underestimate the power of God. And when we do that, we need to repent. And I stand here before you saying that I need to repent. I need to redirect myself. I need to find that strength. And I am so thankful that I have brothers and sisters here today that I can lean on and that I know will always pray for me. And we have God's Word. If you have not been baptized, you do not have access to this power. And if you have been baptized, you have to recognize that this is an incredible power and that it will destroy us if we do not obey. The sons of disobedience have been warned. And it's so important that we maintain our faith and that we maintain what God has laid before us. So if there's anybody who needs encouragement tonight, or if there's anybody who has not obeyed the gospel and would like to make that change in their life, we have a great opportunity. We have brothers and sisters. We have the Word of God. And we invite you to come as we sing the song of invitation.